Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. I'd like to remind all parties that today's conference is being recorded. Thank you. Please begin your conference.
Thank you, Cal. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's UDRP call on Monday, the 2nd of May, we have Jess Newman, Christina Rosette, David Taylor, Philip Shepherd. From staff, we have Gisela Gruber-White, Glenda Saint-Géry, Margie Milam, Marika Konings. Apologies noted today from Carlos Aguirre. And if I can please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Margie.
Okay. Hi, everybody. What I did this morning as before the call was to go over the list of speakers that I'd circulated on Friday. I didn't receive anything on the list that suggested that the speaker list should change, so I think that's probably a good sign. And then I put it in a timeline so you could see how it would work. And so I guess the agenda today really is to finalize the webinar format and see if you guys are all comfortable with that. And that's pretty much it, unless there's any other business. How does that sound for an agenda for today's call?
Sounds good.
Good.
Okay. Okay, so on the Adobe Connect, you know, I counted up all the speakers, assuming they can all come. It's 17 plus a moderator. Obviously, we need someone to set up the call and provide the background. So with 18 speakers, 5 minutes each, you're talking about 90 minutes, assuming everybody sticks to their time allotment, which is a big question because I'm sure everyone has a lot to say. So I think what we'll do from a staffing standpoint is to assume that the webinar will go over, and so we'll make sure, you know, that the phone facilities and everything are available. So that, you know, we don't have to get cut off right at 2 hours. So then I guess the first question for you all is who should be the moderator? I envision the moderator. If you go down to the second slide, second page of the slide, I'm thinking it's only 5 minutes to provide an introduction and kind of the logistics of how the meeting can run. Certainly, it could be staff, it could be me, or it could be someone else, and you know, one of you, if you'd like to do it. I don't really care, but I just wanted to at least give you guys opportunity to suggest, you know, whether you know what you think with regard to the moderator.
I vote for Christina.
You're funny. Margie. I was thinking that it would probably just make the most sense to have you do it.
Yeah, and
that way we don't have to come up with a third person that we all agree on.
Okay, I just didn't want to assume that was the case. I'm happy to do it, and because of the, I have to manage the Adobe Connect anyways. If I had another moderator, I'd have to be able to chat, make sure that they're paying attention to the chat and everything. If you go down to the second page,
I was just going to weigh in, Margie. I agree with Christina.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to agree with Christina. I think you should do it. It's fine. Just in case you wanted that extra support.
And David here, I'll give that extra support as well, even if you really wanted it.
Okay, that's great. Philip, do you have a comment or just a check?
No, I'm just saying, yes, extra support. I was trying to avoid talking.
Okay, that's fine. So we'll get started that way. I thought the best thing to do would be to start off with the UDRP providers. WIFO indicated they've got some time issue later on, and so they want it to be set up early in the webinar because of another commitment. So I thought, you know, so we'd just go right off the bat with the WIFO, 20 minutes, 5 minutes each. And this is just, you know, I don't have the names of each of the presenters from them, although they've all confirmed that they will send someone. And I just thought we'd go in this order if that's okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm having my usual can't get into Adobe from our network. So can you just...
I'll read it to you then.
Yes.
Okay. So from 1505 to 1525, it'll be first the WIPO speaker, then the NAS speaker, then the CAC speaker, and then the Hong Kong speaker. I just chose that. I mean, any order's fine.
No, I think that makes sense because I think that's the order in which they were accredited.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to find some logical way to do it, and way I came up with it.
Any I think HKIAC was accredited before CAC, though.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I would just use whatever that order is.
Okay. So the order of accreditation. Got it. And then the next speaker, I thought the order should be, and this is just my initial thoughts, compliance next. So I was thinking Khalil could go next. Followed by the registrar speaker. I was thinking, you know, that would make more sense. My question is 5 minutes enough time for compliance and for the registrar speaker? We have Staten from Network Solutions as the registrar speaker. At the moment, I've got them down for 5 minutes, but the question for you all is that does that order make sense, and is 5 minutes enough time for those categories?
David here, is 5 minutes ever enough time for somebody who's speaking?
Yeah, I know. That's the problem I have is that we have fantastic speakers and very important topics. And
I don't see that we have much choice. I think we have to keep it to 5 minutes. I have no strong feelings as to whether or not Khalil, you know, ICANN goes before the registrar or vice versa. So, you know, if anyone else has any strong feelings or the registrar stakeholder group has strong feelings about it, then, you know, switch the order. I'm fine with that.
I think, David, if we're giving everybody 5 minutes, then we haven't got a lot of choice but to keep everybody at 5 minutes. Otherwise, as soon as we start breaking out and give somebody 10 minutes and somebody else will want to claim 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that's fine. Like I said before, this is just a preliminary discussion. I think we'll have, you know, obviously more time in Singapore and other, you know, to flesh out these issues. But for this call, I'll assume everyone has 5 minutes for this webinar. So then the next category, so that puts us at, with 5 minutes each, we're now at 15:35. Then we go to, I thought we'd go next to the five panelists that we suggested. And I did switch the order on this. I essentially thought we should do the opposite order of what we did on the UDRP providers. But if you think I should just keep the same order, that's fine too.
Margie, this is Christina. I'm just looking, you know, I only have the email that you sent around on Friday. And it looks as if, at least based on that email, you've got Bernstein, Willoughby, and Harris. Are they for both WIPO and CAC?
I'm sorry. CAC is Harris.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. And then the other two are just WIPO. So I guess the question to you all is that panelists next, does that seem like the right order? And then should I change the order of speaking among the various, provider panelists that
David here. I think it's great having the panelists next. I fully agree with that. And I'd just say, why not do it exactly as you said to reverse the order, though probably that means you'll start with DAC and then HK, IAC, then NAF, and then finish with WIPO.
Any other comments on that? Okay. So that puts us at... they'll conclude at 1600, so we're now 1 hour into the session. Then the next group I have is the complainants and their counsel. So that's Amy Gessner from BMW, and hold on a second, let me scroll it down, and Paul McGrady. So they have 10 minutes, 5 minutes each, so that would put us at 1610. And then I have the respondents and their counsel. So that's John Berryhill and the Hong Kong speaker, which would go from 1610 to 1620. And then I have the academics for 10 minutes, two of them, Konstantinos and Cedric, if he's available, from 1620 to 1630. And then from 1630 on till we end would be Q&A. Any comments on that that order?
Looks good.
Yeah, okay. Seems to work.
Okay, good. Okay, then the last thing I have on the in Adobe Connect are the guidelines for the webinar, because I do want to be clear with the speakers, given that if any of them start going we're really going to be in trouble. And so I have slides are unnecessary, but limited to no more than 3 to 4. I don't see how you could do more than that in 5 minutes. What I thought, to be fair, because I assume others would have that, they may want to cover more content but can't. I'm going to set up a wiki page where if they want to provide additional content or comments, we can post it there and they can refer to it for others to glance through. And I think that's probably a way to allow them to provide more content without speaking to it. So I'll set up a wiki page for that.
Martin,
yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I would actually say that you just cap everybody at 3 slides, because if you say 3 or 4, everybody's going to take 4, and then you're already in trouble of running over.
Oh. Okay. That's fair. 3 slides. And I also, indicated no self-promotion. I mean, we can put up bios on the wiki page, but we just don't have time for that on this webinar. And then I guess the question is, if other speakers in a particular group are unavailable, so say, only one academic can come, do you think it's fair to give them both time slots, in other words, 10 minutes, to cover, the academic viewpoint, or do you think it should just be 5 minutes no matter what, even if we don't, have all the speakers that we planned for?
This is Jeff. I would say 5 no matter what. It'll just leave more time for Q&A.
I agree.
Philippe, I agree too.
Yep, David, I agree.
Okay. Hey, you guys are great. Really
consensus.
I wish all groups like this. And then the last point I have, and then you guys can suggest other ones, is that, just to point out, this is really an issue spotting exercise to identify key issues and problems with the UDRP and its administration, but it's not meant to be a solution, not meant at this point to be talking about solutions. So I just wanted to clarify that in the note that I'll provide to the speakers. Do you guys have other suggestions for what I should tell them as we prepare? I didn't put this on my slide here, but I will have a preparatory session probably Thursday of this week with them to kind of walk through it.
This is Christina. 2 things. First would be that with regard to the providers, I would actually encourage them to consult amongst themselves to avoid duplication, because I don't think it's very productive if you have all 4 providers raising the same issue. And that if it turns out that all 4 providers do, in fact, have the same concern, then just have one of them, they should just work out amongst themselves who will raise it and note that there's unanimity among the providers.
This is Wendy, and, well, that sounds like a great suggestion. I wonder whether we can get that kind of preparation for a 5-minute slot, or whether it's easier just to let them do what they are planning to do.
It appears, well, we can always suggest it to them, and either they do or they don't.
Yeah, and just you're encouraged to because this will be our only opportunity for this webinar. You're encouraged to kind of coordinate amongst yourselves, and maybe you could do that with, for example, the complainant panelists and the respondent panelists, and academics I think are going to be different. But for each group, have them identify, encourage them. And if you send the same, if you send out separate emails to each group on which, but it's one email to the group and everybody's copy, then they've got everybody's email addresses and they can just coordinate right there. So you eliminate that obstacle.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, David, I think that's a good idea. If they can do it, they can do it, because it would make it smoother. And if they can't do it, then
they can. Or if they don't want to, that's fine too. Can I ask a question? Since I had to miss Friday, I apologize. Why do we have 2 from complainants and respondents? I'm not objecting to it. I just want to make sure I understand it.
2 as opposed to more, or?
2 as opposed to 1, 2 as opposed to more,
I think it was just time-wise, trying to get the right number of speakers, and we were chatting through and went through, should we have 2 or 3 for each category, and 3 was going to get excessive, so we went for 2.
Got it. Okay.
any other suggestions for the note that I send over to the speakers?
Philip, I think no, that's fine. I think for me, the only other issue is going to be the conduct of the Q&A, and that's going to be down to you, Margie, as the moderator. And I think, you know, the same guidelines to introduce that might be useful. It's all about an issue spotting exercise. And I think you must, you know, feel free to interrupt questioners if they're making speeches rather than asking questions. And I would limit each person to one question at a time and go down the list and then go back to the same person again, rather than allow the same person to pose six questions because they got to the microphone first.
Just thank David here, just out of interest, are the questions going to be by microphone? Are they going to actually just be by email or on the wiki?
Let me ask Marika. Marika, what do we usually do on the policy webinars? Because those seem to go pretty well.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
When we do our policy webinars, how do we handle the questions? Is it just through chat usually?
Yeah, we encourage people normally to already ask the questions on the chat, and that will come to them at the end. Often the challenge is if there are many people on the call, we might have to mute all of those that are, you know, not actually presenting. And then it's difficult at the end. We often try then to release all the lines, but it sometimes causes interference. So I think the best thing is to encourage people to already raise questions in the chat, and then the moderator can either collect those or you know, they can already be answered in the chat by, you know, whoever the question is addressed to.
Okay.
And Marika, I think if Glenn's on the call, I think she mentioned last week that we already have 60 RSVPs. This is as of last week, so I expect it to be a fairly well-attended webinar, which means we probably do need to mute the lines. And I think that probably provides a little more order and less likelihood of, you know, making a speech if you're doing it through chat.
Right. And you just need to make sure then to provide the operator with all the names of the people presenting to make sure that those lines are open and that they are aware.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Any other suggestions for the guidelines for the webinar? Okay, I guess I don't hear anything else. Any other comments or business you guys want to talk about?
Is there an auto reply that goes out to people who RSVP?
I don't know.
Because here's what I'm thinking. First, I think given that INTA just put a thing in their bulletin that went out today, they put an entry in about the webinar, so your registration volume is about to go up tremendously. I would actually suggest that you think about doing that. And in the auto reply, indicate that, you know, if we are going to encourage people to submit questions in writing ahead of time, indicate the address to which they should go.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Actually, maybe when I put up the wiki page with information and bios, I might have a place there for submitting questions. Marika, do you think that's possible? You're more familiar with how the wiki can get set up.
We have to look into that.
Although
you might need to check with Glenn how she's handling it currently.
Sorry, Glenn, I think she is on the call. She might be on mute. It's Gisela here. Just to say that when people actually send their wish to participate in the webinar, we just return an email with all the dial-in information to them. It's not an auto-reply.
You may want to think about changing that, only because I really actually think you're about to get bombarded.
Marika, do you have any idea if we have a limitation on the number of people that we can handle in a webinar? Or
yes, I think there is a limit in the Adobe Connect of, I think, 200 or something. But I think we've handled, you know, we've never had an issue, for example, at ICANN meetings. But and on the call, it just, you know, we know the number of people that are signing up, so the same number of lines is requested. I don't know if there's a limit there, but I think it's more a question that, you know, we requested in advance. I mean, an alternative indeed would be, if indeed we really get bombarded, that But I think an auto response would be difficult because I think all emails are going to Glenn. But instead of sending all the details, you know, replying to them with the link to the wiki page where you provide all the information, it could be another option as well. But then, of course, it is public, so you might not. If people just go straight to the wiki, you don't have any idea of how many people are actually going to dial in.
Yeah, I think an RSVP is probably better, so we have a better sense for how many people to expect. Okay, well, that's all I have for today. Any other comments or questions? I think that the next thing we can do is probably regroup after the webinar, just to see, any reactions and any follow-up, particularly because I think, we'll need to plan the Singapore meeting session, unless you guys don't want to be involved in that. I'm happy to, just do it, but I think you guys probably would prefer to be involved with that.
I would.
Yep, this is Jeff. I would too.
Okay. So basically, we won't. There's no need for another call before the webinar. But Gisela, if you could send out a doodle for a call after the webinar, that would be terrific.
Okay, we'll do so.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. I really appreciate all your help. I'm really excited about this session. I think it's going to be very informative and a terrific session, all in all. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Margie. Bye-bye.
Bye.